everyone. I'm going to call the meeting of the House Committee on Rules to order for Wednesday, June 7th, 2017. I am going to open. Oh, I just moved it. There we go. I'm going to open a public hearing on SCR 22. Senator, come on down.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, SCR 22 honors Gary Brosh.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Elizabeth Snyder Hayward, State Senate District 17. And I'm really honored to bring this memorial resolution in memory of my constituent, Gary Brosh. Gary was a remarkably talented, world-renowned photographer of the environment and made his life's mission to use his photography to educate people across this country and around the world on the impact of climate change, climate disruption, and humans' impact on our environment. He really did an amazing job capturing our natural environment, the importance of protecting it. Some of you may have seen in October 2016, Gary's images were displayed here in our state capitol during the statewide Worldview of Global Warming Exhibit Week and continue to be available on the Worldview of Global Warming Week's website. He unfortunately passed away prior to that exhibit in March of 2016. Gary's photographs continue to draw viewers in and illustrate the beauties and complexities of our planet to people who are interested in understanding them. And as a very amateur photographer myself, I can say that the power of a good photograph to help people understand a situation is really impressive. I urge you to take a look at some of his work online and urge your support for this resolution. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Senator. Are there any questions for the senator? All right. Thank you very much.
And thanks for your kindness.
Absolutely. I'm going to close the public hearing on HCR 22. I'm going to open a work session on HCR 22.
And Madam Chair, I move HCR 22 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved HCR 22 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, motion passes. Representative Nosen, Representative McLean are excused. Close that work session. I am going to open a public hearing on HB 2947. Representative Gomberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For your record, I am David Gomberg from House District 10 on the Central Oregon coast, and I'm very pleased to be here today on House Bill 2947 with a particular focus on the Dash 2 amendments. First of all, let me say I'd like to thank Representative Wisnett for providing the vehicle that we began this process with. What we're dealing with today is generally termed a gut and stuff, although I would prefer to refer to it as a substitution of substance. An SOS maneuver, but Representative Wisnett is aware of the changes that I have proposed, and after reading through them, he indicated that he wants to keep his name on the bill, which I hope is a significant step here, and you understand that I'm not simply hijacking this tool. So you, I believe, have heard me talk with some frequency about the issue of uncollected debt in Oregon, the $3 billion that Oregonians owe the state of Oregon in fines, fees, and restitution. This measure is not about uncollected debt. It's about something else. It's about the debt that we just simply write off. Let me say that again. The debt that we just simply remove from the books, we decide it's uncollectible, and we take it off the accounts, either in write-offs or adjustments or reversals. What kind of money are we talking about? In the last year, write-offs, $99,610,000. $100 million that we just simply erased and said we're not going to go chasing it anymore. Adjustments, $133,895,000. And reversals, $450,563,347, for a grand total here in write-offs, adjustments, and reversals of $584 million and change, big change, money that we just took off the books. Now, let me say that we have a process in Oregon that if an agency wants to remove debt from the books, that they have to do so based on criteria that are in the statutes and reviewed by the Attorney General's office. The Attorney General outlines the criteria for removing debt from the books. My problem is that we've got 130 agencies out there that are doing this with nobody looking over their shoulder and saying, I examined this. I reviewed it. I will take responsibility and sign off for the fact that this $500 million a year was removed from the books appropriately. So that's what I'm suggesting here. I'm suggesting a process where somebody in the state of Oregon looks at these numbers and says that it was done appropriately. And if it's not being done appropriately, then we slow down this process of just taking money off the books. And I've worked with DAS on this. The difference between the Dash 1 and the Dash 2 amendments is that DAS came through with a, I say that right, the Dash 1 and the Dash 2 were consulted on by DAS, and so they gave me the changes that we put together into the Dash 2 amendments, and DAS is here today. They said they're happy to testify on this, or they just simply give a thumbs up behind me. For the record, we're getting a thumbs up. So, colleagues, $500 million, I just want to make sure we're taking it off the books, that we're doing it right, and that somebody is going to sign off and say that it's being done appropriately. So that's where we're going with the Dash 2s here. Again, I thank Representative Wisnett for providing the vehicle, and I hope that you'll fuel it up and send it on its way.
Questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Gomberg, earlier in the day, we heard a bill in a committee you were chairing about debt buyers that hopefully in the very near future will be able to be licensed in the state of Oregon. Do you know if some of that debt that potentially would be written off could be actually sold to a debt buyer for recovery of some of those dollars?
Madam Chair, Representative Holby, an interesting question. I think when it finally gets to the point where it's being written off, that it's simply removed. Could it have been sold to a debt buyer instead? I would hope that somebody is making that evaluation before they get to the point of simply taking it off the books. But as I've gone through this interesting journey the last 2 years examining this delinquent debt issue on an agency-by-agency-by-agency basis, what I'm finding is a huge variety in approaches to the question of this debt that's on the books. I will tell you that the Board of Mortuaries and Cemeteries doesn't have a very robust collection department, and they have accounts on their books, but they don't spend a lot of time chasing it. I talked to another agency who said, we're in the business of assigning fines, not in the business of collecting revenues, which I thought was very odd. Some agencies doing a better job than others. That's why I want the debt to be reviewed by one central authoritative source before we take it off the books, because I think we can send some of it out. And if a debt buyer wants to buy it and there's no chance of getting it back, we're still a couple of bucks ahead.
Further questions? All right. Thank you very much, Representative Gomberg, for your work on this. I am going to close the public hearing. I'm going to open a work session on HB 2947.
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendment to HB 2947.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved the Dash 2 amendments to HB 2947. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Adopted.
And Madam Chair, for the record, we do not have the fiscal or revenue on the Dash 2. Hopefully it will come in by the end of today's meeting. Otherwise, we can carry it over till tomorrow.
All right, I'm going to close the work session for now. And I'm going to open a public hearing at CR7.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, SCR7 honors Senator Alan Bates.
Come on down. Yeah. Welcome, Senator.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Alan Olson. I'm a senator representing Senate District 20, the heart of Clackamas County. This is a bill that's near and dear to my heart. 2 years ago, on June 1st of 2015, I had a heart attack. Alan Bates was there to send me to the hospital. To where my heart did stop, and they brought me back. And I've got 2 more years of life because of Alan Bates. This is a great bill. This bill memorializes what he has done for Oregon and for the legislative body. You know, he was born 3 years before I was, half a country away. I was born in the Midwest. He was born on the West Coast. And the interesting thing was, is his name was Alan, spelled the same way I spell my name, which is appropriate. We were both veterans. We were both in the Army. He went to Vietnam, and I went to Korea, and we both loved to fish. We're both conservative senators, and we both had a full head of hair. Now, I said those two because I wanted to see if
yeah.
you guys were paying attention.
I I beg to differ.
One of the interesting things when I did the memorial on the Senate side was, as I talked about some of the things that Alan really liked, because he really was a jovial kind of guy. He was very personable. And one of the things that I talked about was the fact that when I had my heart attack, he came right up, made certain I got the hospital, made certain that the hospital knew what was going on, and rushed me right in to get the care I needed. And when I came back, my office was in terrible disarray because, you know, the firemen were in there and they had the gurney and all of this stuff. And I was trying to clean everything up, and this is not the quarter, but I found a quarter on my desk. And for the love of me, I couldn't figure out where that quarter came from. And I pondered a little bit, and I realized as I was laying on the couch and they had the EKG on me and all that stuff, I saw Alan Bates going over there, best 3 out of 5. No, that was a joke. He was not doing 3 out of 5 to call the emergency. He actually did it. He was a great guy. Unfortunately, he was taken too early in life, and he was taken by the same affliction that hit me. One of the interesting things that I was looking forward to is the next year, in April, I had open-heart surgery. And I was looking forward to going back to Alan and showing him what I've accomplished and how I've lost the weight and got everything in order. And he passed before that, before I could see him. So this is a celebration of his life, and I would ask that you support it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Trevor Belts, and I am the Associate Director of Government Relations for the Oregon Medical Association. A longtime OMA member, Senator Bates was a respected physician that never let his public duties take away from the time he spent with his patients, and he was also an excellent legislator that worked tirelessly to improve the lives and health care of all Oregonians. On a more personal note, I had the honor of working for the senator for the better part of 2.5 years, and largely why I am lucky enough to hold the office that I do today. And I will forever cherish the experience that he provided me with, but more importantly, the friendship. I think I had heard from previous staffers that it was one thing to work for Senator Bates, but it was another thing to be his friend afterward. He would call me weekly, monthly, asked me to go on fishing trips, crashed a couple family vacations, but all in good fun. He was one of the nicest, most genuine people that I've ever known, and in nearly every meeting that he took, he managed to ask these perfectly inquisitive questions, just really showing how much he cared about getting to know someone. He was all about getting to know people and their stories, and would hold on to those little cherished moments and would continue to ask people about those little tidbits that he'd find out in future meetings. He insisted everyone called him Al, but I think we all knew that Doc was more appropriate, and in my opinion, I think it represented his calling in life. He had a bedside manner that he carried with him through every interaction, whether it be the legislative level, personal level, or with his patients. And I think it represented a fondness for the type of in-depth discussions that he desired so strongly to have with everybody. And sincerest desire that everyone be the best and the healthiest version of themselves. The man was truly superhuman. He would, as many of you know, work closely with him, would work 4 to 5 days in Salem during the session, and would take off when he could on Fridays to go see his patients, would work 2 to 3 days on the weekends seeing 40-plus patients. And I don't know how he did it for, I don't know, 15 years. And I luckily had the chance to live with him when I first started working with him, moved in, he invited me into his home, but you know, we would stay up late just talking, and he would impart with me so many different issues that he wrestled with, how much stress he carried because he wanted all of his patients to be cured in every single way possible. I mean, he would lie awake at night thinking about what more he could do for his patients, and that happened when he was in the legislature too. He would drop everything he was doing if he got a call from his exchange. If there's a patient calling him, he wanted to put them first no matter what. And as the senator here did mention, this is a celebration. So the couple things that always come to mind is he was just a really fun person to be around, but he also had just some little isms that continue to make me chuckle. And not necessarily stories, just things I knew about him that maybe others didn't that I just thought were ridiculous. So the three that I put together was he would only eat during the legislative session ham and white bread sandwiches, Nothing on it, and that was it. We luckily convinced him to eat a little lettuce every now and then. And if you were in a meeting with him during lunchtime, he would insist because, you know, who eats lunch during the legislative session? So he would insist that these people during the lunch meeting would take a sandwich from him. So that was one thing. The other is when I was living with him, I don't think I saw him eat anything other than either a fried egg or Cheerios for all meals of the day. And lastly, I kid you not, his coffee consisted of one part coffee, three parts cream, and three Splendas. And it's disgusting. And I don't know, that was Doc. So thank you so much. Please support this bill. We all miss him and love him.
Thank you both so much for being here. Questions, comments? Thank you, and we're so happy that Doc Bates got to you, Senator Olson.
Oh, you're not the only one. You're not the only one.
Yeah, so thank you both for your wonderful tribute to a really great man.
If I may, Madam Chair, when I realized that something wasn't quite right, I called down, and they were in caucus, and I asked to talk to Doc Bates, and they said, well, he'd be with you in about 10 minutes, and I said, I won't be here in 10 minutes, and he was there in 1 minute, so.
I may have missed it, but where did the quarter come from?
Where did the quarter come from? That was a joke.
I was just making sure.
It was a joke.
Just
no.
Left it hanging.
Doc was a very jovial folk, and I know he would understand that joke. And I actually gave the quarter to Lori Bates. And
so that's not even
it was
the real quarter.
More, it was a lot more fun on the Senate side.
The prop.
Well, thank you both very much. And it's my understanding that Lori Bates will be here when the memorial is on the floor of the House, so that it'll be great to see her.
And I have, Madam Chair, I've asked for special parchments because we're going to get the bill framed and
great.
Give it to her.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
All right, I will close the public hearing on SCR7. I will open a work session on SCR7.
Madam Chair, I move SCR7 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved SCR7 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Motion passes. The carry will be Representative Marsh. I will close the work session. I will open a public hearing on HCR 37.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, HCR 37 congratulates University of Oregon on its academic and athletic achievements.
Welcome, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Phil Barnhart. I'm the state representative from House District 11, which, thanks to the redistricting work in 2011, is now in House. The University of Oregon is now in House District 11, which is part of why I'm here. But I will say that my association with the university started when I was three. My father was hired to be the assistant director of dormitories in 1949, and I, at age three, had the pleasure of watching the workmen smoothing the concrete steps across the street from where we were living on Carson Hall, which is one of the residence halls at the University of Oregon. So I've been associated with the university for a long time, and I'm very pleased to bring this concurrent resolution to your attention. The university contacted us and was interested in a resolution that having to do with the athletic success that the university's had in the last several years, which has been considerable, and which is on the bottom of the first page and the top of the second page of the resolution. I'm not going to go into that in any great detail, but I insisted that they should also include academic and community activities at the university. And I learned a number of things about the university's breadth and depth of involvement that in our state and in our communities that I did not know about in the areas of biology, working with complex organisms, genetics, seismic monitoring, innovations in networking for broadband applications in education. They've won prestigious architecture awards in connection with the redesign of one of the research libraries and a whole variety of other things, in addition to the women's cross-country championships, the NCAA team championships in track and field, basketball, baseball, and and softball, all of these things. And you notice it's men's and women's teams. And then we proposed an amendment, which I understand hasn't actually reached the committee yet, which we hope will be adopted in the Senate, which also includes issues that are involved with our community involvement, university community involvement in the state of Oregon. I didn't know this, but the university is involved in cross-disciplinary work throughout all 36 counties in Oregon, partnerships with city governments, rural counties, tribal governments. It has been involved in community planning, economic development, conservation, sustainability, and food systems, the resource for rural environments, helping to improve rural economic conditions, opportunities for skill building and community leadership, and increasing capacity of rural communities to improve their own economies, social and environmental conditions. And then in the College of Education, they work with districts throughout the state, and this is one I was aware of because I was on the Dean's Advisory Commission for several years, working with K-12 districts to bring the research results of the College of Education to the benefit of our K-12 system throughout the state. Ironically, they tend to work with rural and away from Eugene districts more often than the local ones. You know the definition of an expert, someone who's more than 100 miles from home. The university also works to preserve celebrate and preserve cultural traditions, and is involved with the state's diversity and rich history through the Oregon folklore method, and works extensively with the Oregon Institute of Marine Biology, which is one of its institutions, promoting marine biological research on the coast. So I would commend this resolution to the committee's consideration. I hope that it is recommended, sent to the floor, and I hope to speak again on it there. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Barnhart. Are there any questions for the representative? I see all that. Representative Holby.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have any issues with this bill. I think it's a great bill. However, I do want to take issue with a comment of referring to concrete workers as smoothers. Concrete smoothing is an amateur approach to concrete finishing, and does usually end up with a lumpy surface. It may be smooth but not flat. So you would insult concrete workers by calling them smoothers. They do not smooth concrete, they finish it. Thank you, ma'am.
I do appreciate, if I may, Madam Chair, Representative Holby, I do appreciate that clarification. I will tell you, I have been up and down those steps many times, and they are level as well as smooth. Thank you.
They are finished.
Thank you.
You better write that part of his floor speech.
Yes, write that part of my floor speech.
Any further questions? All right. Thank you, Representative Barnhart. I will close the public hearing on HCR 37. I will open a work session on HCR 37.
With deep regret, Madam Chair, I move HCR 37 to the floor with the be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Rayfield is grumpy and has moved HCR 37 to the floor with the be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. Representative Barnhart will be the carrier. I will close that work session. I'm going to open a public hearing on SCR 6, 8, 9, and 10.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, SCR 6 recognizes and honors Sergeant Jason Gooding. SCR 8 recognizes and honors Deputy Roy Dirks. SCR 9 recognizes and honors Deputy Carlton Smith. And SCR 10 recognizes and honors Reserve Deputy Robert Riley.
Hi, Mary.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee. My name is Mary Nunnekamp. I am the chair of the Oregon Law Enforcement Memorial Fund. This board consists of Malheur County Sheriff Brian Wolf, who represents the Oregon State Sheriff's Association, retired Hubbard Police Chief David Dryden, and he represents the Oregon Association Chiefs of Police, Linn County Sheriff's Office Senior Deputy Chris Hodick, and he represents the Oregon Peace Officers Association, and Mr. Jim Whitehead, he is the parent survivor of Multnomah County Sheriff's Reserve Deputy Mark Whitehead and director of the Oregon Chapter Concerns of Police Survivors, and I'm also a proud retiree of the Washington County Sheriff's Office. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today. I am honored to represent the line of duty death survivors who are seeking to have their loved one remembered through the Oregon Fallen Officer Memorial Highway Sign Program, which was established in 2011. It's been my honor to work with these families, some for many, many years, and others for this last year. SCR 6. Honors Seaside Sergeant Jason Gooding, who served the Seaside community for 13 years before he was killed. Sergeant Gooding was shot and killed in the line of duty on the evening of February 5, 2016, as he and another officer attempted to serve a warrant on a known convicted felon. He left behind his wife, Amy, who was his high school sweetheart, and two little girls, and a very large extended family. And he was only 40 years old. He was known for his immense smile and generous nature, and he was a football star at Sherwood High School. He loved attending University of Oregon football games, boating, playing on a law enforcement football team, and spending time with his family. SCR 8 honors Lane County Sheriff's Deputy Roy Dirks, who gave 17 years of service to both Lane County and the Eugene Police Department before he was killed on April 11, 1975. Deputy Dirks was investigating a boating accident when he was shot and killed by cult members. He was only 39. He left behind his wife and six children. Later, his family would have 12 grandchildren and one great-grandchild, who I had the honor of meeting recently, but he would never get to meet them. He loved fishing, telling jokes, riding motorcycles, dancing, and spending time with his family. SCR 9 honors Lane County Sheriff's Deputy Carlton Smith, who was killed on July 6, 1965 at 11 p.m. on his first day of work, just 1 hour before the end of his shift. Deputy Smith was shot and killed by two convicted felons after stopping their vehicle in the Valley River Center area for speeding. He left behind his wife, five children, one stepchild, and a large extended family. He was only 33. He enjoyed sports fishing, scuba diving, being a baseball coach, a high school football referee, and spending time with his family. SCR 10 honors Lane County Sheriff's Deputy Robert Riley, who was killed in 1958 after serving with both Eugene Police and Lane County Sheriff's Office. On the morning of August 17, 1958, Reserve Deputy Riley was killed in an automobile accident as a passenger on patrol with the Springfield Police Department, and they were attempting to stop a fleeing vehicle. He was only 36. He left behind his wife and one son, and he was killed on his son's seventh birthday. He enjoyed building model railroads, inventing a host of items, volunteered as a deacon and high school teacher, and spending time with his family. When my law enforcement family, when we experience a line of duty death, we say to their family members that we will never forget. And we take that very seriously. And we commit to that. These highway signs help us to do that. And as I talk to family members about the importance of these signs, the wives say to me, I want the officers that go to work every day to know how much I value them, and if they can look at my husband's sign and realize that this is honoring them as well, that's important to them. These signs are being placed around the state of Oregon, and it's up to these surviving family members to decide along with ODOT where they go. The one for Jason Gooding, his family wants to honor that he loved a boat, so it'll be down near Detroit Lake. So they're very healing and supportive of our family, and we appreciate that. The Oregon Law Enforcement Memorial Fund, of which I chair, we accept all the financial expense to these signs, so there's no expense to the state, to the agency, or the families. So I clearly urge a yes vote on all these four, and I'm happy to answer questions, and thank you for bearing with me.
Mary, thank you for all the work you do in honoring these fallen heroes. Do we have any questions? Thank you very much. I will close the public hearing on those bills. I will open a work session on SCR 6.
Madam Chair, I move SCR 6 to the floor with the be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved SCR 6 to the floor with the be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Motion passes. Carrier will be Representative Boone. We'll open a work session on SCR 8.
Madam Chair, I move SCR 8A to the floor with the be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved SCR 8 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Motion carries. Representative Fahey will carry that resolution. We'll open a work session on SCR 9.
Madam Chair, I move SCR 9 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved SCR 9 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Motion carries. Representative Noble will carry. I will open a work session on SCR 10.
Madam Chair, I move SCR 10 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved SCR 10 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, motion passes. The carrier will be Representative Lewis. I will close the work sessions on all of those.
Chair?
Yes.
If I may, I just want to thank you know, being from Lane County and three of these officers coming from Lane County, I actually had met Hugo Dirks before. And anyway, thank you for your work.
Thank you. I got to meet his grandchild, great-grandchild, and they named him after Roy. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. I am going to open a public hearing on SCR 15 and SCR 16.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, SCR 15 honors Dolores Atia, and SCR 16 honors Pat Staub.
Welcome, Fred.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Fred Neal. I'm the immediate past chair of the Oregon State Capital Foundation. And on behalf of the board of directors of the foundation, we're pleased to have been the facilitators of these two concurrent resolutions honoring two former first ladies deceased in the last couple of years, both Mrs. Atia and Mrs. Straub. Both were gracious first ladies. Many of us in this room remember fondly interacting with both of them and their husbands, both where they served and then after their service. And we only think it's fitting that we and you memorialize them through these two vehicles. Both families. I didn't see Tom Atia here. He was thought he was going to be present. Cared very deeply about his mother, and members of the Straub family likewise have been grateful that the legislature intends to memorialize them. If there are any questions I can answer, I'd be happy to.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for your work. I will close the public hearing on SCR 15 and 16. I will open a work session on SCR 15.
Madam Chair, I move SCR 15 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved SCR 15 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Motion passes. Carrier will be Representative Hack. I will open a work session on SCR 16.
Madam Chair, I move SCR 16 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved SCR 16 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, motion passes. The carrier will be Representative Clem. We'll close both of those work sessions. I'm going to open a public hearing on SCR 3A.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, SCR 3 designates November 25th, 2017 as Hollander Remembrance Day. You do have a dash A3 amendment. It does change reference to famine genocide. And you have a no revenue, no fiscal on the A3.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
Okay, dear Chair Williamson, members of the committee, my name is Tatiana Turdal. I am resident of House District 36 in Northwest Portland. I'm also a member of the Ukrainian American Cultural Association of Oregon and Southwest Washington, which requested FCR 3.
Dear Chair, Vice Chair, and representatives, my name is Ihor Levkiv. I'm a president of Ukrainian American Cultural Association of Oregon, and I will let Tatiana to deliver the speech on behalf of our organization and the Ukrainian community.
Oregon is home to tens of thousands of residents with Ukrainian heritage, and our organization educates the community on Ukrainian history and traditions through cultural events and provides assistance to Ukrainians both in Oregon and in Ukraine. Over the past few years, we have worked with Mercy Corps, Medical Teams International, numerous local churches, and also our U.S. Senate delegation to provide millions of dollars in medical and humanitarian aid to those impacted by the ongoing Russian aggression against Ukraine. We requested SCR3 as part of our educational mission. We ask you to join us in supporting SCR3, which remembers and honors victims of the historical Ukrainian famine genocide of 1932-1933, known as Holodomor. Holodomor refers to the man-made famine genocide that caused the death of at least 5 million men, women, and children in Ukraine. And for reference, this is more than the entire population of the state of Oregon. In 1988, the U.S. Commission on the Ukrainian Famine, created by an act of Congress, stated in its official report to Congress that the government of the former Soviet Union knowingly used the brutal policy of induced famine to repress the Ukrainian people and concluded that the famine in Ukraine was an act of genocide against the Ukrainian people as defined by the UN Convention on Genocide. Ukrainians around the world commemorate the victims of Holodomor on the fourth Saturday of November. SCR3 designates November 25, 2017, the fourth Saturday in November this year, as Holodomor Remembrance Day in Oregon, and encourages individuals, educators, businesses, groups, organizations, and public institutions to join in observance with educational activities designed to honor victims. We also ask for your support for Amendment A3, which changes the word famine to famine genocide. This aligns SCR3 with the language used on the congressionally authorized Holodomor Memorial in Washington, D.C., and the findings of the U.S. Commission on the Ukraine Famine. I have included a one-pager on Olives that shows a picture of the memorial and also the close-up of the sign, and the sign says, "Famine Genocide in Ukraine, in memory of the millions of innocent victims of a man-made famine in Ukraine, engineered and implemented by Stalin's totalitarian regime." I was in D.C. last year and visited the memorial, and I would encourage everybody who goes to the Capitol to see it. It's a special experience. We are very grateful to Senator Monas Anderson for her sponsorship of this bill and for the Oregon Senate for its unanimous vote of approval last March. We also ask for your support. If you have any questions about the resolution, the Holodomor, Ukraine, we would be happy to answer them. Thank you.
I just want to thank you for bringing this forward and encouraging an educational opportunity about this tragedy in our state. So thank you very much for your work. All right, with that, I will close the public hearing on SCR3. Open a work session on SCR3. Yeah, we're moving the A3.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I move the -A3 amendment to SCR3A.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved the A3 amendments to SCR3A. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Motion passes.
Madam Chair, I move SCR3A to the floor with a be adopted as amended recommendation.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved the SCR3A to the floor with a be adopted as amended recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Motion passes. Thank you very much. Actually, Representative Greenlick will be the carrier. Thank you. I'll close the session.
Thank you.
All right. Colleagues, I'm going to open a work session for the introduction of a committee measures.
And, Madam Chair, members of the committee, you have two measures before you this afternoon, LC 4. 501, which encourages equitable and diverse gender representation on boards and senior management of committees in Oregon. It is a concurrent resolution. It does come to you at the request of State Treasurer Tobias Reed. You do have a 4536 relating to state finance. It requires DAS to study a report on government efficiency in Oregon. It does come to you at the request of the chair.
Thank you very much.
All right, Madam Chair, I move LCs 4501 and 4536 be introduced as a committee measure.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved LC 4501 and 4536 be introduced as a committee measure. I will just say, colleagues, for the record, supporting the introduction does not mean you support the underlying content of the bills. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Motion passes. I'll close the work session.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, we have not received our fiscal and revenue statements on House Bill 2947, and so if you would like to carry the work session over till tomorrow.
I will carry that work session over until tomorrow. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you all. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you all. Until tomorrow.